Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in your life. It's one or the other, amen. And if you're watching us on Facebook because you didn't make it, thank you for watching. Thank you for all for being here. It is a ugly night outside. Turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2 is where we'll be this evening. Ruth chapter 2 as we second week of studying through this book, Ruth chapter number 2. Actually, go to number 1 and you'll be there. Ruth chapter 1. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Ruth chapter 1. We're going to read verses 8 through 18. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. Be reading ahead. We'll be in this book for, I think I counted this morning, maybe 11 or 12 weeks or somewhere around that neighborhood. Ruth chapter 1, begin reading in verse number 8. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say I have an husband also tonight, and should also bear two sons, would you tarry for them till they're grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And they, verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. Lord, we know there are many that, because of weather, are at home, and we want them to be safe. So we pray that you help them. And Lord, I pray they're watching and they will get encouraged from this scripture reading and from this study here in the book of Ruth. Bless our children and the workers over there with them tonight. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Last week we looked at the graves of the three husbands. We looked at grief, and grief is something serious. Tonight, we're looking at the story of three widows in a wash pot. If you remember, Moab was referred to as a wash pot. So let me give you some thoughts here tonight. First of all, a widow that was discouraged. The first widow is Naomi. We've seen her and her disobedient walk. We saw that last week. But I want you to notice these words that she's giving to her daughters-in-law. Naomi is an example of a believer that's away from God. She's an example of a believer that's a hindrance to the work of God. Steps had been made to return, but at this moment, she was still in Moab. Naomi illustrates how the life of believer is when you're not living for God. First of all, we see Naomi was being observed. Orpah, I keep wanting to call her Oprah. Orpah and Ruth were from Moab. They'd grown up in adultery. They had been reared in this place. They had been away from God. They didn't know what God was. They didn't know God. Their life had been one of spiritual darkness. But Naomi was saved. Naomi was saved. Naomi knew the true and living God. But we read there in verses 6 and 7. She said, then she arose with her daughters and all that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judea. There had been a huge departure from the land that God had given them. And all these things are going on. And it would appear that Ruth and Orpah are in the house of despair. And they're looking to Naomi for direction. She was being observed. You realize, and you've heard preachers say it, I've heard preachers say it, people watch us. They watch how we act at work or at school. They watch what we do. They watch what we say. I have more times than not had to go back and apologize for going off on a situation at work. We're human, but they watch us. The old saying is, we're the only Bible a lot of people read. It's scary, but they're watching us. They're watching. We as believers need to be constantly reminded we're being watched. 1 Corinthians 4:9 says this, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are all made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels and to men. That word spectacle speaks of theater. Now, we're not to put on a show. That's not what that means. What that means is you identify, I identify as a Christian. So that means they're going to start watching. I have sat many times and heard Christians that on the job tell off-color jokes, say things they shouldn't say. And I'm sitting there, and they begin to look at me. Did you hear him? I said, I can't answer for anybody but myself. I cannot answer for him. But later in my years in the trade, I would go up to them, and I would take them off to the side, and I'd say, now look, I don't know where your relationship with God is right now, but you just brought shame to his name. I did. I would. And it, some accepted it and some didn't. But if you're going to say, if you're going to come in on a Monday morning and talk about how you went to church and how good God is, and then you go over here telling a joke or talking, what used to really gripe me, Paula, was how some of the guys would talk about their wives. Oh, I would sit there and somebody would say, Weaver's about to blow up. Because I would come in and they'd hear me talk about my family, my church, and if it was football season or baseball season, that's the extent of it. They would say, so, what's in your lunchbox, Weaver? Because we work a night shift. I'd carry this big old lunchbox. We was working 6-12s. No, we was working 12-12s. So my beautiful wife would cook dinner the night before and leave me enough, and I would take it with me. So I'd pull out, if it was Taco Tuesday, I'd pull out meat and cheese and lettuce, and they'd say, oh, boy, Weaver's doing good. I said, hey, boys, give all the credit to my wife. But what used to gripe me was how they would talk about their wives. Tracy never did that. Don't worry. I'd have got on. He knew better, and I'd have got on him. But they watch us. I always told the boys, guys, you're identifying as a Christian. That means the people that are at school are going to watch every move you make. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do these things. But this is, they were watching Naomi. We see also Naomi was being obstructive. One of the things as a believer is for us to lead others to him. I'll never forget one time, and I'm not going to tell you his name. Some of you may know him. I was at the what used to be the Bilo in Soddy Daisy one time. And there was a preacher, a pastor, old. I don't even think he's with us anymore, but he was at the service desk just causing a fuss. And when he left, I heard the little girl say, I hate that guy. I said, boy, that's a real good sign for the Lord right there. Are y'all with me? This, you know, we are to point people to Him. We are to point people not to whether we want to vote this way or that way. We are to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we're supposed to be. But instead of her getting her daughters-in-law to turn to God, she was turning them away from God. She said, go, return in verse number 8, each of her mother to each of your mother's house. In other words, go back to Moab. Go back to Moab. She was in a bad place. She was in a bad place. She said, the Lord deal kindly with you in verses 8 and 9. She was being hurtful in their conversion. She was being hurtful in them and what they were told or what they should be doing. Naomi was speaking in verse number 10 through 13. We read that. I'm not going to read it again. But she was talking about the marriage. If a man died without any children, his brother had to marry the widow to continue the family line and those things. And she was saying, I don't have any more children. I'm too old for this. All these things are going on. And basically all they're doing is driving them away. Listen to what Gandhi said. We've heard of Gandhi, famed India leader. He said this, the independence movement began with a handful of people, and he led in mass movement of millions. But he made this statement, I would be a Christian if it were not for other Christians. Another famed atheist, Robert Ingersoll, he wrote a book about being an atheist and going against the Bible. And he sent this to his godly aunt. And in the book, he wrote, if all Christians had lived like Aunt Sarah, perhaps my book, Being Out Against God and Atheism, would have never been written. Think about that. He said, I'm an atheist. And his book was written about not believing in God. But in the leaflet, in the flyer where you opened it up, he said, if every Christian was like Aunt Sarah, this book might have not been written. Think about that for a second. Think about the people that we have in our past that we can point to Jesus. That's our job. Not just the preacher's job. It's all of our jobs. And Naomi was in a bad place. Naomi was discouraged. But number two, we see a widow that departed. A widow that departed. Orpah illustrates somebody that turned completely away from God and rejected Him. Notice in verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. We see Orpah going back to Moab. She went back. We see tears of sobs and separation. Orpah decides to go back to Moab. She returned to her relatives. She returned to her religion. She returned to her reality. Orpah reminds me of those that sit in church week after week after week, lost. And they get up and they walk out that door. Yes, sir. You're up here. I'm up here. Daryl, you've been up here. You know what it's like when you know. Yes. You know. The Lord is dealing with somebody. And they sit there and they get up and they walk out the door. Nothing breaks a heart more of a pastor or a preacher when that happens. It's happened many times. There was one guy at a church and down in Rock Spring, lived across the street. The whole family was lost, and the young man was like 15 and he got saved, and then the rest of them trickled in. But I remember Dad. He called me one day. He said, can you come over here? I said, yeah, I'll come over there. He come over there, and about 6 or 8 weeks before that, he made and I'll use the quotation marks, a profession. He said, come over here. And I went over here, and he said, open that refrigerator. I said, I won't open your refrigerator. Open the refrigerator, and it was chock full of beer. He said, I'm an alcoholic. He said, I didn't ask the Lord to save me. I just put on a show. He said, I want to get rid of all of this alcohol, and I want to change my life, and I want to get saved. You know what? That afternoon, he did. Sometimes it don't always happen at church. Sometimes it happens after. All I can do as a preacher, all we can do as teachers, is get it out there. But Naomi was not a good example. She was not in a good place. And we see Orpah chose to stay in a cursed land. She chose to live in spiritual darkness and desolation. She chose to go back to the false gods. Orpah reminds us of those who are given that opportunity, yet they say no, and they walk away. You know what's the only sin that'll send you to hell? The sin of unbelief. Prove me wrong. Show me in the Bible where it says anything else. I've had this argument for years and years and years. People say this will. No. The sin of unbelief, because Jesus died for all of our sins. But if you leave this world and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you, sir or ma'am, are not a believer. You did not get saved, and therefore you will not go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. We see Orpah returning to Moab, Orpah remaining in Moab. This is the last time you'll hear from her. You don't ever see her, hear from her again. How tragic is it when somebody hears the word of God and leaves and you can't ever find them again? That's happened before. People come into church and you try to reach out to them and nothing happens. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. But this is the perfect example of what happens. There was a gentleman here Sunday morning, sitting in the back over there right in front of Richard. I spoke to him. Very nice guy, enjoyed the service. As he walked out, I said, "Sir, I hope you come back." He said, "Well, I may not. I may." He said, "Every once in a while, I just need to come to church. I just need a little church." And I said, "Well, sir, we'll be here with the Lord every week whenever you want to come by." But that's the thought process of many people in our society. Amen. I just need a little church. Right. Easter is March 31st. This place will be full of people that hadn't been in church since last Easter. But this is not one pastor that's going to belittle them. Never have, never will. This is one pastor that's going to thank them for coming. Amen. Welcome them with open arms and preach the hammer down. Amen. But the way this world is, we just need a little church. No, you need a lot of Jesus. Amen. Church has never saved anybody. Church has driven more people away than have actually come to the Lord, in my opinion. But we see Orpah returning and remaining in Moab. Now we see a widow that's deciding. A widow that decided. Ruth. This is when we really start to pick up on Ruth and her heart. In verse 14 it says, "Ruth clave unto her." Ruth grabbed a hold of Naomi, and she said, "I'm not going anywhere." Those verses in verse number 16. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest," or in our terminology, "for where you go, I'll go. And where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people are my people. Your God, my God. When you die, will I die. Then will I be buried. The Lord do so to me more also, if aught but death part thee and me." I use verse 16 every wedding ceremony I've ever done. I use this verse right here at the end of it. Ruth is deciding. She's made a decision. First of all, she decided to follow, and it gave her a new life. She said, "Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge." She was leaving a cursed land for a blessed land. She was leaving a place of spiritual darkness for a place of spiritual light. This world is in darkness. The things that the world is doing, they're supposed to do, because they're in darkness and they do not know any better. But she was leaving the land of darkness for a land of light. She was leaving a land of idolatry for a land and a life where the one true and living God is to be worshiped. Salvation gives a person a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I read this Sunday. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. She decided to follow, and it gave her a new Lord. She said, thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. There is nothing better. I love when children get saved. It's always special. But when an adult that's been out in the world, that's committed everything you can think of, when they get it, there's nothing better. You want to talk about witness for the Lord. You get some old drunk or some old pothead saved, and I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. And they go out to their buddies, and they're around. One guy that we led to the Lord at Memorial, JR, I wish I could get a hold of him, and I can't. I worry about him because he told me one Sunday he came in. He said, preacher, he said, I was at a birthday party. He said, everybody there was drinking. Come on, JR, get back to your old ways. Get back to the JR we know. He said, I'm not the same JR that you know. Amen. This man's probably 45, looked like 65. He had drunk and smoked, just a rough life. But he prayed the sweetest prayer that Tuesday afternoon in my office. He said, Lord, this is just JR. And I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But the Lord saved him. The Lord changed him. There's nothing better. Not a better witness for the Lord when somebody gets saved. She had a new Lord. You see, before God saved us, our God were riches, recreation, reputation. But salvation gave us a new Lord and a new master. When she decided to follow, also gave her a new loyalty. Ruth said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. Ruth was saying, this decision, listen, she said, this decision is for the rest of my life. I've seen people get saved. Well, they shoot up like a rocket for about 3 months. And you can't find them with a search warrant. Preacher, I just can't. No, you can. You got to get in here. You got to, and as a church, as a pastor, we have to disciple them. We have to help them. We have to put our arms around them. We have to let them know and get them in the Word of God. That's why I'm so proud of Crystal. I hope she's watching tonight. I'm so proud of her because she got saved several years ago. But she told me, she said, the Lord has done a work in my heart, and I want to be in church, and I want to read, and I want to pray. That just, it makes me happy. Y'all with me tonight? All right, it's good. Ruth was saying, this is for the rest of my life. She said, I don't want to go back to Moab. I'm not interested. I looked this up, this song that we've sung in church for forever. I have decided to follow Jesus. I looked it up, and I've got books that tell me about the songs. And I looked it up just to see if there was something about it. After the Welsh revival, after it was over, there was a group that went to northern India and got into the villages preaching Jesus. And this one family, I'm not even going to attempt to say the fella's name. A gentleman, he got saved, his wife got saved, and his kids got saved. And within an hour or two, they were getting ready to be shot because the chief had heard what was going on. They shot his children. They shot his wife, and they said, denounced Christ, and he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Now, he didn't write that song, but that story went through the years and years and years, and then William J. Reynolds in 1958 had heard about it and put the song together that said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Ruth made a decision. Yes. Ruth didn't make an emotional decision. I've seen those two in the heat of a service. Somebody gets saved. I always question those just because. But I'll never forget, as long as I live, an old boy named James at our first church right over in Saudi Days, a little old bitty church. I've told you about our church, little bitty. Literally, you were sitting, you know where it's at. Some of y'all know where it's at. You're sitting close. An old boy come to church every single week. I'm just a young man at the time. It's many years ago, and I'm preaching hell as hot as I can. I'm preaching salvation, and he wasn't moving. He sat over here on this side. But between August and October, we had about 15 people get saved. But my heart was still heavy for James. And one day he got up. And when he got up out of his seat, I thought the roof was going to fall off. And he got it. I went down there and I took my Bible and he said, "Preacher, I feel like I'm on fire this morning from hell." And I said, "Let's take it." I took my Bible and I showed him how to be saved. And then he went back to his seat. Somebody else we've been praying for, a mom of a family, she came up and she got saved. And they got it. You can tell when somebody really and truly gets saved. Oh, I'm going to tell you, when we go off streaming about a prayer request that's on our hearts for a very, very special family. But I was thinking about this young lady's conversion this morning. We were at a youth event. The place was, this was several years ago, but the place was over. The service was over. And they said, "We got to get out of here. There was something else getting ready to come in. They were packing up all the chairs." And I looked over and she's sitting over there by Kathy. And she said, Kathy said, "Come here." Went over there. And she looked at me and she said, "I'm going to hell if I don't get saved." The back of that auditorium with people putting chairs up, she trusted Christ as her Savior. There's nothing better when that happens. Jason has been able to lead, him and Amy lead both of his girls to the Lord. It's just amazing. I told you about Sis. He just told me that we was wasting her time walking back there. He done got took care of it. And Caleb was at Melville and he got saved. But there's nothing better when somebody gets saved. But we as Christians, we should want to see more of that. We should want to share with people. You say, "Preacher, I can't." Yeah, you can. You can walk up to somebody, walk up to your neighbor tomorrow and say, "You look, I don't know the doctrine and I don't know all the verses and I don't even know what road it's on. But I can tell you this, Jesus saved me and he can save you." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you for Ruth. And we're enjoying getting back into this book. It's been a while. We're enjoying getting back into this book. And I just pray that it'll be a blessing as we go forward, as we go through this book. Help us, Lord, to grow from it. Help us, Lord, to get closer to you from this book. Now bless as we go into prayer requests and as we share thoughts that we all have, Lord, and have your way. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.